I know all the bad stuff is happening. I'm going to rip on some of it this morning, I suspect, before I get through, maybe before I get started. But don't mean I don't love my country, amen? Open your Bibles to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. Probably a lot of preachers turning to this text this morning. It is a good for us to look for a remedy, and if there is a remedy, here it is in our text today. I'm going to talk to you, though, and I believe find it in the text here, on the question, why the evil? Why the evil, as we think on this 4th of July weekend? Pick it up with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We'll go up to just get a little bit of the context in verse 11, and we'll read right on down to the last verse 22, verse 22 of the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Want you to find it with me now. We're just going to park there. Probably won't want to run any other references. If you can get over to 1 and 2 Samuel, move over to your right, you get 1 and 2 Kings, then you're going to come up with 1 and 2 Chronicles, and we're parked on chapter 7 now of 2 Chronicles here. And picking it up in verse 11, which kind of gives the context, says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." I want you to watch the little word if now for the next several verses here. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom accordingly, according as I have coveted with David, thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But, take a notice of the word but, crossing the street. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I've given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he will say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto his house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he, God, he brought all this evil upon them. Now here's the context. Solomon has finished the first temple. It's according to God's will. God wouldn't let David build it. He was a man of war, had blood on his hands, but he told him, I'm going to let it happen with your son. So David gathered the materials, and now Solomon has built it, and now God has put his blessing on it. But in the midst of that blessing, he is also given a warning. And notice it here in verse 19, he says, but if you turn away. And he says it again in verse 22 here. Now, let me say, there's one thing obvious in this portion, and that is God has given the people a choice. Now, don't hand me this fatalism that everything is ordained and God don't give man. No, he gives man a choice. And there are consequences that follow choices. And if you want to study the history of Israel, you'll see they've been living in the consequences quite a bit by having made the wrong turn as to what is referenced in this text that we read right here. And notice the big thing in this text is if they turn to other gods. Pick it up with me again in verse 19 here. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I've set before you, and shall go and serve other gods, little g gods, pagan gods, false gods. That's what he's talking about. He says it again in verse 22. And it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. You notice in the last statement of verse 22 that he brought all this evil upon them. Now he itemizes some of that evil. He said, if I send the locusts, or he said, if I stop the rain, or the disease, the pestilence on the people. Do you understand that God is the author many times of allowing the devil to bring bad things on people? But they asked for it in many ways, and the nation of Israel certainly asked for it as they did turn to other gods. You read a little bit of history there. You read about Baal in the scripture. You read about a god by the name of Moloch in the scripture. You find where Israel got to backslidden and intermixed in marriage and other things with the heathen and pagan nations. And you find out even Solomon himself at his old age slipped and began to go out with the outlandish women and bring in God's judgment because those women turned his hearts to their gods and brought the true God's judgment upon the nation. And with that happening, they begin to worship Moloch. Now, Moloch was a terrible thing. He was a big old pot-bellied idol that sat there with a fire built inside. And sometimes they would kill the baby first, but they would have his so-called outstretched arms, and they'd lay the baby as a sacrifice into that idol and take it down into the fire. They would recover the bones sometime, what they could, the family would that offered the baby. And they'd take the bones and they'd bury them at the doorstep of their house because it was supposed to bring prosperity. You say, that's awful and terrible. Well, I don't know whether they had air-conditioned doctor rooms with white coats on or not. But not much difference. There's a lot of babies being killed today and a lot of folks trying to make profit off of it. Sell the tissue and claim the spine cells or something, all that stem cells, all that junk. There's a dollar behind it much of the time. Evil as it can be. And God hated that thing in the days of the Jews here, and he hates it today just as bad as he ever did. And the truth is, this is a bigger thing. We don't want to just read over this. God took his chosen people to task. He let them suffer the pains that you know about in history. He let Nebuchadnezzar come and take them away. He let God brought judgment of foreign kings on Israel. And listen, they gave up Jerusalem 500 years before Christ was born. I mean, the truth is, God used heathen nations on his people because they turned to the gods of the heathen nations. Right on through the Holocaust of Hitler and everything else, you find out. If there's one big cause, it was God's people at that time, Old Testament Jews, turning from the true God to false gods. And I want to make some application to America today on this weekend of the 4th. Folks, we are in the midst of making the same great big mistake that Israel made in the eyes of the Lord God Jehovah, and the same Jehovah that judged them will judge America and is judging America today. And it's a sad thing. The example of Israel here is for us too. I understand doctrinally where it fits with the Jews, but God said the things written aforetime were written for our example and for our admonition. Be admonished by it. Don't let this happen to you when you saw the evil that happened over there. Don't let it happen to you for the same reason. And while we rejoice in our country today and its freedoms, and they're certainly not what they used to be, but my friend, they're fading fast and they're going to soon be gone if we don't get back to the true God, to the right God. And When our leadership says America is not a Christian nation, aren't we sending a message to heaven? Yes, we are. And that's been said by our top leadership. And when we reach out in this so-called pluralistic society that's been created to bring in the heathen gods, why would we be expecting any different treatment than Israel got? Why would we think it's going to work out different? I mean, this other god business is real, and Islam is the leading false religion that's making so many great inroads in America, that's begging for God's judgment on a country turning from him to a false god. The very word Islam means submit. And I wish we could get our leadership to understand that's their goal. We will submit. They do intend by force to take over and to rule everywhere they can. They've done it in Europe. And they're going to do it in America. Unless some Americans wake up. It's America now, with the acceptance of Islam. Nationally, did you see this week in New York, where they are having a big fuss and pushing and putting pressure on to observe in the public schools the Muslim holidays? That's what I'm talking about. But you understand they're fighting even the holiday of Christmas because it's got the name Christ in it. But that same crew don't mind bringing in Ramadan or whatever else it is and make a holiday out of that. That's a national message to God. That's sending a telegraph to God. Hey, we're going to put another God up here equal with you. It's an amazing thing today. This is acceptance. Did you see? And I hope you understand. Plans are being permitted in New York right now for a 13-story mosque built on the site of 9/11. Ground zero. Do you understand what that signifies? Triumph. That's right, victory. We didn't only take the towers down, now here's our trophy. Here's our memorial to what we've done. And I think the mayor is fighting it. I mean, within two ball fields, I mean, a building that was damaged in the 9/11 being razed down, brought down, that the mosque can go up. And everywhere that they have conquered, they try to build a mosque. And it's symbolic of we won, we're the victory, we're the tops. It's an awful thing to even think about that with me. But what they plan for America, they're already doing in Europe. In England right now, in the courts are recognizing Sharia law for the Muslim neighborhoods. In France, over 700 neighborhoods are now off limits to a regular citizen. Even the police are afraid to go in, and they're being allowed to rule themselves with Sharia law. They are pushing for the exact same thing in America, and a lot of preachers just won't say a word. And it may make you say, well, it's kind of dangerous. Who allowed it to be dangerous? Who opened the door and invited that crowd in to take over a country that our forefathers bled and died for in the name of the Lord God Jehovah? And so on this 4th of July, I do raise my voice. I'll keep raising my voice as long as God allows it, because this thing will bring God's judgment just like it did on Israel. And I fear, and you know also, that judgment is apparent. Oh, we got this cry in America, separation of church and state. That's a bunch of baloney. In the beginning, our forefathers named God, prayed to God, asked God's blessings. 1867, the largest church in Washington, D.C., met in the Capitol building, 2,000 strong, and nobody cried separation of church and state. Because there was no such foolishness there. No such foolishness. I saw where the ACLU this week. That lousy bunch. I wish they were all fleas and I could put them in a bag. find something to do with it. Saw this week where they were giving travel advisories to not go into Arizona. Isn't that amazing? It looked to me like real Americans had crowded that place out just to be in defiance of that crowd. We're going nuts with this thing. And so the Sharia law is coming. But 35 known terrorist camps in training terrorists, Muslim camps training terrorists in America right now. On a certain highway, you can go and see a green sign that will tell you about the camp, that it's there if you're trying to find it. America, what did Israel do when they brought their babies to Moloch? What did they do when they bowed down to Baal? You say, but you're supposed to love them. I would love to see every one of them saved. I'd love to see every one of them that's deceived or come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not a rule to compromise and sell out your country and sell out your faith and sell out your grandkids. Amen. Elijah killed 450 prophets, maybe in love, but he done it anyhow because he had to cleanse the land. And I believe America would stand up his hind legs and say, we are a Christian nation, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we would preach liberty to the captives of that false religion. We could see God's blessing on us, but we can't pussyfoot around and compromise and pretend that all gods are equal. They were not equal in the days when the Jews got out of Egypt. They were not equal in the days of Babylon, and they're not equal today. There's still the Lord God Jehovah on the high throne of heaven. But you look around today in the world and you see the big cities. For instance, Amsterdam has told their school teachers, what we would call public school teachers, state education, they have told them, now get this, do not mention in teaching your class, do not mention the word farm, F-A-R-M, farm. Because when you mention the word farm, it brings to mind that farms have pigs on them. And pigs are offensive to your Muslim students. See how crazy the world is getting? We may have to learn how to sing, Old MacDonald had a farm, I don't know. I mean, the world's gone crazy. Crazy when you have that kind of stuff. But it's happening, folks, and it's not only happening in Europe. The pressure is on in America right now. We can't even call the terrorists what they are. They're Muslim terrorists. They're not Baptist terrorists. They're not Methodist terrorists. Bless God, they're Muslim terrorists. And we ought to name them from the White House on down and quit this stupid pussyfooting around that's going on. And also, let me say this. We better stand up for Israel, because we're about to get in trouble with God Almighty there. Let me see if I can get you to understand something. This crowd that's trying to push Israel in the sea, they're not going to stop with Israel. Let me give you a little picture here if I can. If in your neighborhood, your community where you live, if a bad guy got on the TV and said, I'm coming down to that neighborhood and I'm going to start house by house by house, annihilating, killing, murdering everybody. And let me say, if you were the 10th house on the street and he started at the first one, would you resist him only when he got to your house? Or would you jump in to help the first house he hit? Israel is our first line of defense. They are taking blows for us even right now. And as soon if Iran and all that crowd could drop a bomb on them and get rid of them, that wouldn't stop them. They're coming after the big Satan. They're coming after us. You understand that? That's amazing. And yet, you throw Israel to them if you want to. God's going to judge the leadership of America that does that. Trouble is, the innocents get hurt also. Us, the citizens, the grandkids, all of that's got to face that that sort of thing. But the example of Israel here, God said, I'm giving you a choice. Keep my statutes, worship me, but if you go after the false gods, then I'll let the evil come. I'll stop the rain. I'll mess up the economy. Ours is a little shaky now, isn't it? I mean, you look around and see what's happening. It's not happening by accident. All God has to do is lift his umbrella of protection. His protection has been on us. We were birthed in prayer to our Lord God Jehovah. Go back and check out what Benjamin Franklin said on April the 17th in 1787. He said, we can't get together here in this Continental Congress. We can't get a constitution until we call on him. And that's what broke the stalemate. And America was born in prayer. Prayer to the right God. America's been blessed by God's protection all through these years. You know, history is interesting to me, and one of the saddest things is how little so many know about it. I saw just a blurb of it. I couldn't even give you the right stats on it. But it was pitiful what I saw. Just how I was a little bit out of whack. We went up to the funeral in Georgia, so I didn't see a lot of news. But I saw a little blurb somewhere where they'd made some stats concerning the 4th of July, asking people on the street, what nation did America rebel and get its liberty from? And it was only a small percent that even knew a thing about it. Some of them said France. Some of them said Spain. Some of them said Italy. And a few said England. It's pitiful, folks. We've forgotten our history. You see what's happened? We've raised a generation that didn't have to fight for it. A couple of generations that didn't have to purchase it, and they've taken it for granted, but somebody had to fight for it. Somebody had to pay for it. And know so little about it. It just amazes me. And our foundation was in God. Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, intimated in that verse would be the nation whose God is not the Lord is not blessed. And if we turn from God, we turn from his blessings. We're getting out from under his umbrella of protection. In the Revolutionary War, you study it a little bit. It's a miracle of God for us to defeat the armies of the greatest kingdom on earth at that time, England, to get our freedom. Study it a little bit, that ragtag army of George Washington out there around Manhattan and the English outnumbered and brought the armada, brought the Navy in there against them, and they actually circled around, and they had this little ragtag army so ill supplied, some of them with rags on their feet instead of shoes, and they had them encircled and was ready to come in and finish them off. But history book says providence intervened. Do you understand what providence is? Providence brought a big fog in, and they said you couldn't see a man 6 foot in front of you. And George Washington's army slipped away. And when they brought the pincher movement in, he wasn't there because they slipped away in the fog. Now you say, just a foggy morning, by the grace of God. God's protection. You read in 1812 when England come back and burned Washington, D.C. to the ground and was taking everything. And all of a sudden, they said a freak storm showed up. And they had big lumps of hail falling. They had tornadoes and tearing the English army up to the place they had to turn and go back to the ships. Providence. There's another name for him. The Lord God Jehovah. His will was being done. Another name there. We better stick with that. We better understand. We don't share. We are not supposed to share the glory. The choir sang a while ago, bring back the glory. The glory used to go to the Lord God Jehovah. They're trying to put it off now to Allah or to some Buddha or something else and bring it all in and be all inclusive. That is a stench in the nostrils of the true God. It was in the days of Israel, and it still is today. America was birthed in prayer, blessed by God with God's protection. And if we're going to save it, it's going to have to be brought back by God. Amen. Politics is not going to do it. The evil, say, what do you mean? God brings evil? God brings punishment. God brings chastisement. God is good. He warns ahead. God is good. He gives time for repentance. God is good. He gives a door open, a way of escape. He does all that. But there is a line with God you can cross, and it's too late. And Israel crossed it, and America is very, very near, if not across it, today. We're not going to be saved by politics. There's a formula in the text I read, the text that first was given to Solomon concerning the Jews. It's a formula. There's a plan here in verse 14, and that plan will still work. Spiritually, every verse in the Bible has a spiritual application to us. Doctrinally, it fits Israel. But hey, God hadn't changed his mind in saying it was not right for Israel to worship other gods, but it's okay for America to. He's not changed his mind. He's the same God. The book's the same. The rules, the principles, the same. Now I look right here in verse 14. I see a formula here. It says, if my people... All right, my people then was the Jews, but my people today would be the Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, Christian has the word Christ in it. Christ was God incarnate in the flesh. My name shall humble themselves and pray and look, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Look at it just a moment. My people, here's what it says in that verse. It says, do four things. You mark them with your pen. Four things. Do four things. Number one, humble. America today is hurting because of her pride. You got a lot of folks now fussing about praying in Jesus' name at some political meeting somewhere. Bible tells me I can't honor the Father without honoring the Son. You're not going to blaspheme Jesus and get God to overlook that. But a lot of politicians are doing it. It's pretty easy for some of them to say, God bless you, hypocrites. You don't know God unless you know Jesus Christ. It's simple as that. But humble. Here's the formula. If they will humble themselves, number one. Number two, pray. We have the example in Luke 18 about the proud Pharisee praying. You don't get your prayers answered that way. Humble first. Humility first. Prayer. Seek my face. That means be concerned about what God thinks about what you're doing. Seek my face means, Lord, I repent from my way. Come back and see what you think about it. Receive instruction from you. Turn. Then it says turn. Turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. That's repentance. Wouldn't it be something if we had a leader in the White House that said, no more baby killing? No more false God worship? Wonder what God in heaven would do if we really repented. If even as a nation we really got serious about repenting like Nineveh did when Jonah pronounced judgment on it. What would God do? He could bring us back. He would bring us back. See, then let's don't blame God for where we're at. Let's blame us. And I do start with the churches. The Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. I do start with the panty-waist preachers in the pulpit that are trying to share the Lord God's glory with every kind of thing that's called to God. I do hold responsible for the starting point. But we got to the place where it's got to be politically correct, and we put Jesus Christ in a closet and brought the sin and evil out of the closet and tried to make it acceptable in our day and time. But here's the formula. Four things. Humble. Humble yourself. Number one. Number two, pray. Number three, seek my face. Number four, turn. That's what God says if the people will do. He tells Solomon, If they make the wrong turn and they go down here and they recognize my judgment, it's not raining anymore, the locusts are coming, and they realize it, then they can repent, they can turn back, they can do these things, and then I will bless. He says if he'll do four things, he'll do three. See them in the verse? You can count them. Three things God promises. It's on that big if. If they do, they got a free will to choose. If they do, he says, if they do, number one, I'll hear. Number two, I'll forgive. Number three, I'll heal their land. God said, if they'll do four things, I'll do three. You know what? He'd still do it today if we did the four. Oh, I'm not just talking to Landmark Baptist Church. I hope everybody listening to me today would be willing to do the four. But as a nation, we need to do the four. And our sin has become national sin in the face of God. From the top. You see, when Nineveh repented, it started with the king. The king heard Jonah and he got in sackcloth and he began to repent and the whole place did. And they bought some time. We could buy some time the same way. Three things God promises. He said, if you will do the four, I'll hear you. I'll forgive you. I'll heal your land. I believe with all my heart, and I even see the slimmest possibility of it, but I'm going to be honest, I don't see much hope. All hope is in God. But when I look at the people and see the apathy and how little care, and as long as they can keep filling the tank up, as long as there's food on the table, as long as there's a ball game on TV, nobody's wanting to repent. They got it too good. Why don't we go down there and hear old Mickey Carter? Why, he's been preaching that for years. There's another church somewhere you can go have fun at. And you'll go away feeling good. And you won't be scared that Jesus is coming. Oh yeah, I hear that stuff all the time. Hear it all the time. That's why my hope is slim that America's going to turn in time. I wish she would. I really do. But I fear it's not going to happen. But it could happen. The West could rise up, but they'll only do it. They'll only do it as they get back to this book. They'll only do it as they get back to the truth of God. They'll only do it as they lift up Jesus Christ. The glory will never come back that once was until we do the things that brought it in the first place. And the truth is, I don't see that happening. But it could happen, and the West could rise up. And as it were in the Old Testament, get rid of the idols, get rid of the false gods, and come back to the Lord God Jehovah, and we could see things turn around. And I would pray for that, and I think it's right to pray for that, because so much is moved on prayer. And the formula here, humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. That is genuine prayer. Prayer that you don't act out. Live like the devil. Live in sin. And then pray and ask God to give you everything you want while you're living that way. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. It's too bad it's that way too many times. But prayer is real. Prayer does change things. And it starts with changing the one that's doing the praying. Amen. No telling till we get to heaven what we're going to find out that prayer really did and what it really turned on down here when we didn't know it. You may be here today and there may be a grandma praying for your soul somewhere. Some teenager said, I'll be glad when he quits. Yeah. Somebody may be praying for you. I believe that most folks that get saved, somebody was praying for them. I believe that's the truth. I believe most folks that come and receive Christ as their Savior, accepting the fact he paid for their sins and shed his blood for them, I believe somebody cared enough about their soul that they're praying for them somewhere. And you may be here today and you know in your heart somebody's been praying for you. Have you ever come to Christ? Say, well, you know, I'm going to just live the world up until it's gone. Well, it's going pretty fast. Faster than you think. And the truth is, if you had it all, it'd still slip away from you. And it wouldn't profit you a thing if you had it all, if it cost you your soul. Are you saved here today? You see, I'd like to see my country saved. But above that, I'm saved. My family's saved. That's the biggest thing, number one. Can you say that today? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Prayer works. I think about recent, I don't know, last few years, the Iraqi war. I think about a story that came out, and there's been many stories like this. A number of soldier boys in the battle, and behind a wall there, and all of a sudden, a mortar lobbed in and fell just a few feet from them. It should have exploded and killed every one of them. Should have. But it didn't. It stuck in the ground and it didn't explode. And the boys were just bug-eyed looking. They know they were looking at death. They expected death. That was death that fell in their midst. And almost in shock, they were quiet. Finally, a young black soldier looked at his watch, one of those complicated watches. He pushed a button or two. And he did the arithmetic on what time it was back home. And he said to his buddies, he said, "This is Mama's secret time of prayer. She's in the prayer closet. That's why it didn't explode." He said, "Oh, I don't believe that." "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Only heaven will reveal what prayer has done." Oh, I say to you on this 4th, go ahead and have your hot dogs and your barbecue, and that's okay. Please think about what it means. And please think about begging God to bring us back, to bring the glory back. Let's ask Him anyway, and ask Him because He can do it. He's not, it's not that He don't want to. He wants the people to do the things He tells us to do. Then He'll do His part. He always does His part. He'll do His part this morning if you'll leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ. Your part is to make that choice. Then His part, He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll make a new creature out of you. Your part is to make a choice. I hope you'll make the right one today. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we commit the invitation to You. Lord, it saddens us to look on where our country has fallen from. It saddens us to think about the young men that never come home from battle as they fought to preserve our liberty and how we've abused it. And how, Father, You answered prayer and how You made this the greatest nation on earth and used it in such a mighty way. Father, we are ashamed. We are sad that we've fallen from where You placed us. And if I know my heart today, dear God, I beg You to allow Your Spirit to draw Your people to come back in prayer, to come back in humility, to be willing to turn from evil lifestyles, that You do not have to bring the evil on us, the chastening on us to get our attention. I pray for this moment right now in this auditorium of this church building. I pray for those listening in radio land. I pray for those in these pews that if there's some unsaved, they'll come to You. Let Jesus that loved them and died for them be their Savior. I pray You'd speak to that young man, young lady, mama, dad, to each heart today and not let a one leave this building unsaved. We ask that Your Spirit would draw them.